Welcome back to Canucks Talk Sportsnet 650. Jamie Dodd, Thomas Drance, live from the Kintech studio. 650, 650 is the Dunbar Lumber text line. Dunbar Lumber, with three stores to serve you in Ladner on Bridge Street, or Dunbar Lumber Express at Ladner Center, or Arbutus in Vancouver online at dunbarlumber.com. Tune in on Trade Deadline Day to Sportsnet 650's coverage brought to you by AJ's Pizza on East Broadway in Mount Pleasant. Try AJ's traditional New York pizza or sink into their famous Detroit pizza only at AJ's Pizza. Order online at ajs.pizza.
And don't forget their upside down bar pie, which upon trying for the first time, Jamie said, "Oh, I could eat an unlimited amount of this."
And I stand by it.
And then we proceeded
delicious
to do so.
Delicious stuff.
Unlimited.
In honor of Russell
now
Wilson.
Now that's a tie-in.
Yeah,
right,
well done. Well done.
Mr. Unlimited Bar Pie. That's me.
$85 million in dead space. Yeah. $85 million in space for upside down bar pie.
I got to say, I did not know until just doing this read that AJ's was sponsoring our trade deadline coverage. But I'm even more excited for trade deadline day now because typically our leader, our fearless leader, Cam Barra, will order pizza for the station. He's not here.
No, he's going to Toronto.
On trade deadline day?
Yes.
What?
I'm in his place.
Are you ordering pizza?
I don't have the company card, but I'll try.
Talk to Dom. Talk to Cam and make sure it happens. We need pizza.
We got to figure it out. We can't have AJ's Pizza as a trade deadline sponsor and not eat AJ's Pizza on deadline day.
How are we going to make this happen?
I'll talk to Alfred.
How are we going to throw hot honey on our deadline coverage without some pizza to throw hot honey on? Have you considered this, Dom? Yeah,
these are the types of things that the assistant, what are you, assistant to the program manager?
I'm just the producer of 32 Thoughts.
Senior producer. By the way, I believe we are scheduled to be on 10 to 1 on trade deadline day. Schedule a little different. So I doubt
I'll be there the whole time.
No, you'll probably
I'll zoom in and
skedaddle
out
at some point. But we'll be there skedaddle as the actual deadline rolls around at noon. So looking forward to that on Friday. All right. We'll do it now. We spoke to Pat Brisson in the first segment, so we kicked for the whiteboard to right now. So let's get into it.
All right, now, fellas. Hey, let's focus up, huh?
It is your daily deep dive into what's up with the Canucks for today, March 4th. We'll start with the headlines now. We've hit on the two major headlines at length already in the show, so I don't want to belabor them too much. Obviously, pretty big headline from the weekend. Elias Pettersson signing for 8 years, $11.6 million AAV. Also, they beat the Ducks yesterday 2-1 to start this mini three-game road trip. They'll play LA tomorrow, Vegas on Thursday. Hoglander and Garland score. I should also mention Vasily Podkolzin, which we didn't really talk about, makes his season debut in the NHL for the Vancouver Canucks.
Yeah, and for those that are only listening to the whiteboard, you know, you like the discipline that the Canucks showed in hanging around in a you know, game that was not close. Like, it was a convincing victory, even if the scoreline was narrow. But I think it's fair to worry a little bit about the fact that, like, once again, the power play didn't score or threaten all that much.
You'd like to see them really put a beat down on the Ducks.
Or at least just generate a higher volume of heavy shifts.
Make Dostal stand on his head a little bit, you know?
I just didn't think Dostal stood on his head. Like, I can't see that the Canucks weren't basically full value for a one-goal victory over Anaheim. You know, and there's things to like about that, and there's things to worry about. At the end of the day, it doesn't matter. You just have to come out and play really well over the balance of this week with big games looming against the LA Kings and the Vegas Golden Knights ahead of the Friday trade deadline. What did you think of Podkolzin? I thought he passed like the looks like he belonged test. Did enough to earn a lengthier run, but I also feel like there just wasn't a lot of there.
I thought there were basically two lines who had good nights for the Canucks, and he was on one of them.
Yeah.
I thought the Lindholm
Pettersson line.
The Pettersson line was the other one, but the Lindholm Garland Podkolzin line had a pretty good night.
Yep.
I thought Podkolzin made some plays. Like, the number one thing for him is confidence, obviously, right? And playing without hesitation, playing with confidence. I don't think it was like a dynamic game breaking effort or anything like that, but I thought he did enough. As you said, like, the looks like he belongs test is big for any young player, but I think it's especially big for somebody whose confidence was so at question.
Yep. Right? He didn't look like he belonged to training camp.
No, exactly. Right. And so I think just the fact that he looked comfortable, and I do think, I don't think it was just, you know, look, sometimes for young players, the bar gets set pretty low, right, in their first games. So I acknowledge maybe that's a little bit of what's going on here, but I thought he made some plays and made some things happen beyond like the very baseline expectations, right? So I thought it was a positive performance.
I thought his presence was welcome too, just as a big body. Like there was that one sequence where Brock Besser ended up with a decent chance off the rush, and he almost worked as like a target man in soccer. Mm. Like the puck was sort of flipped up toward him, and because they kind of couldn't navigate around his body, he was able to make a play to Lindholm, who then sent it over to Garland in a partial change. And that was like a nice sequence that wouldn't have been possible without Podkolzin sort of being in the middle with his frame.
And Tockett referenced after the game, like, yeah, did some good things holding onto pucks like, yeah, in a situation like that, right? Where he can help possess the puck and extend those offensive shifts.
That run down the stretch of the 2021-22 season when he was playing on Miller's wing and like, just the heaviness of his game was like dripping off of him. Like he was so assertive physically in terms of how he threw the body, in terms of how he protected the puck, that like, you know, weight to him was so impressive. And it's like we saw it for a 10-game stretch and it really caught my eye and I thought, oh boy, this guy could be a problem. You know, shades of young Timo Meier here. And, you know, I certainly didn't see anything that looked like that last night.
No, but if you're looking for, could this guy help our bottom six down the stretch and in the playoffs, I think it's at least earns more looks at that, right? Not that he answered that question last night,
I guess, but I'm expecting the adrenaline game early. You know, like I'm expecting the first game to be almost like the loudest, right? And so now we get into the same sort of stage that we went through with Baines, where we're sort of evaluating on parallel paths, right? The one question is, can he help next year, right? And if that's the question, it's like you saw nothing to say that Podkolzin couldn't help you in the bottom six as soon as next year. And the other is, can he help now? Are you picking him over Phil DiGiuseppe? And I don't mean to pick on Phil DiGiuseppe. He's just like for now, right? Like the third forward on the fourth line. So in a game seven situation, looking at his whiteboard, does Rick Tockett opt for Podkolzin over Phil DiGiuseppe? I don't think you'd come out of last night saying,
no, it's not.
Yes.
No, but
you might say, hey, maybe.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, yeah. Maybe for sure. It's a possibility. He didn't earn that spot by any stretch last night, but I think he's going to be in the mix to keep getting those types of opportunities. And he didn't play himself out of that. No way.
I don't know if he will be. I think it's going to be about how he sustains it over the course of this week. You know, and beyond. Like I don't think one way or another last night's performance
tilted
it.
One more time, Broncos country, let's ride.
Either
Broncos country,
but it was like a hold.
Let's ride.
Like, hey, we're bringing him up.
Yeah.
We're bringing him up to see if he can compete, and now we're going to continue seeing if he can compete.
I appreciate that we're odd coupling it today.
Let's ride.
I think that's good.
Yeah.
I think that's good for us.
I like this look. We've spent too much time talking to each other over the last few years. It's very unfortunate.
I disagree.
All right, thank you.
I think it's great.
All right, on to the broadsheet. Now, on to the broadsheet. No, I know. We talked at length about Jake Guentzel in the last segment. So just we'll throw a mention in there that Pierre LeBrun is reporting the 6+ legit suitors for Guentzel, including Vegas and Vancouver, or the two of those 6+ that he named. Now, on to some other names. And we did have somebody text in about Tyler Toffoli. And of course, in addition to talking to you all the time, I also read your fantastic work up at The Athletic, and I saw your collaboration, your frequent collaborator, you and Rick Dhaliwal. I know you hate when I call him that.
Why?
You get mad because you're like, it sounds like...
Yeah, it sounds like we're Vichy French. Yeah.
But anyways, you and your frequent collaborator, Rick Dhaliwal, at The Athletic, reporting interest from the Canucks on Tyler Toffoli and Jordan Greenway.
Yeah, why can't he be my colleague, man?
Because you got what you guys are doing. You're collaborating.
How dare you?
Disloyal collaborators.
Okay, so, yeah. Tyler Toffoli, not clear that he'll be dealt. Devils love him.
Mm-hmm.
If he were to shake loose, I'd think the Canucks would have some interest. I can tell you that, you know, Elias Pettersson would love to play with him again. Certainly loved playing with him the first time around, and the way that, I mean, people don't understand the severity, I don't think, of the lower body injury that had Tyler Toffoli. Like, Tyler Toffoli played a few games in the bubble, sustained a significant enough injury that he was in a walking boot for most of his time in the bubble, and then returned, beating his timeline by like 3 weeks to play again. Now, he wasn't as effective. You wouldn't expect him to be, but do not underestimate how much respect and weight that sort of performance, those sorts of guts, earn you in an NHL locker room. Like, Toffoli was widely, widely liked and admired by his teammates, many of whom are still among this Canucks core.
And if we're talking about, okay, if they don't have the assets to make a bid for Jake Guentzel, like,
or your Pavel Buchnevich,
who are kind of the top of the list for forwards and especially wingers now, go down the list. And Tyler Toffoli is still a really good player, so it's not as if you're bargain shopping, but it's farther down the list of expensive forwards than Jake Guentzel would be. So it could make sense as kind of plan B, or like, all right, Guentzel's just too prohibitive. Let's see what New Jersey's planning. By the way, New Jersey has the same points percentage right now as Pittsburgh.
Right.
And Pittsburgh's like, oh, we're a joke. We're folding up shop for the season. And New Jersey's like, well, maybe we can make something happen here. So I don't know, man.
I think that makes sense, though, when you think about how many man games New Jersey's lost from their best players. Like, Pittsburgh, I think, knows that if they even make it into the playoffs, it's like, where are we going with this group?
Yeah.
Whereas with New Jersey, I think you could at least understand how they'd be like, hey, man, if we could get some saves for 3 weeks, we're one of the best teams in hockey, you know? So I understand why they'd view it a little bit differently, personally. Yeah, look, Toffoli's an interesting name to monitor. Greenway's an interesting name to monitor. We'll see what the Canucks do. Just to reiterate, you know, some of our reporting, the Canucks are deeply reluctant to trade their top prospects that haven't yet arrived, right? Lekkerimäki and Elias Pettersson are expected to join Abbotsford after the conclusion of their season. Tom Villander's probably going to stay at Boston University for another year, but man, those three guys are so highly rated by this club that I just don't think they're going to part with them easily.
By the way, I think it's worth emphasizing the Elias Pettersson factor there. Like, the defenseman, yeah. Elias Pettersson, because I'm not sure we would have put him. I think a lot of people would have put him in the, like, the Hunter Brustevich range,
no.
Right?
No.
But that's clearly not how the team views him. They're very high on him.
Very, very high on him for good reason. He's got a unique profile. I mean, think about how hard it is to find players that can actually play defense and skate well enough and have enough skill to hold up with the way the contemporary game's played. They view Elias Pettersson
as... Well, but then also have a mean streak to them and an element of physicality, right? And I know we've talked to Bukala.
Real authority in terms of how he plays.
We've talked to Bukala, and Bukala has thrown out top four. Like, not saying he's going to be, but like, I could see this guy being a top four, which really, really perked my ears up when we heard it from Bukala, and obviously some shared sentiment, it seems like, from the Canucks press.
The way he communicates on the ice, too, like, he's just a smart, smart player. I think there's... Do not underrate how high the organization is on Elias Pettersson and how high the organization is on all three guys. You know, one of the reasons I don't want to say I'd be surprised, because this is Jim Rutherford we're talking about. I do think that the Canucks would love to be aggressive. I think they'd love to land a big piece, but I think there's a realistic possibility that they land a medium piece instead, just based off the fact that they're really high on these three prospects, deeply reluctant to move them, really don't want to sit on the sidelines for consecutive drafts without a first round pick, especially at this stage of their development, with, you know, Hughes, Pettersson, Demko all being mid-20s guys still. So, I, you know, this club's definitely balancing the long and the short term, and the long term is still a priority for them. You know, they think they can win this year, and that's going to govern some of what they do in terms of who they check in on. But they're not going to be reckless here, especially having locked Pettersson.
That's the thing. You've got Pettersson signed.
They won't cop to that. They'll always say,
you got to make sure you have running mates for Pettersson, right?
Totally.
If you think Lekkerimäki can be that amps up the stakes of holding on to him at this deadline.
And Lekkerimäki's having a deeply special season, you know. But I do think Guentzel would be viewed by the organization as a long term piece, a piece they could keep.
Mm-hmm.
So. It's going to be an interesting week, my friend.
I wonder if much in the Chris Tanev mold before he was dealt to Dallas, is this a, you know, maybe we're not going to trade for Guentzel, but we're going to touch base with him on July 1st and see if there's a fit there, right? Like, we like the player so much that just because we don't get him at the deadline doesn't mean our pursuit of him is over. Quickly, yeah, it's going to be a very interesting week. I love trade deadline. I love trade deadline week. I'm hyped. Lineup notes.
So here, let me handle this.
All right.
to this point, having spoken with my colleague Harmon Dial from The Athletic, who is in Anaheim and at Canucks practice, he says that the lineups appear to be the same as they were last night in Vancouver's victory over Anaheim, although to this point, the club at practice has not done typical line rushes to his eye. So he does, however, tell me that Carson Soucy is on the ice in a regular jersey. Not a huge surprise. The club sent Matt Irwin back to Abbotsford today. That creates an open space on the roster, although as of just before we started the segment, like as of 1:30 p.m., the club had not yet activated Soucy. So Soucy remains on LTI, according to the NHL's official roster page, which is up to date as of 1:30, but is on the ice in a full practice jersey with the Canucks. And given the Irwin move, I would think that if Soucy's not an option for the game against LA, he will
certainly
be an option before the end of this road trip.
Yeah, certainly for Vegas. I mean, we saw Friedman and Juulsen both in the lineup, so they have the healthy guys to go without Carson Soucy. But the Irwin move, sending him down, and as you say, Harm saying that Soucy's on the ice in a regular contact jersey, certainly points to a pretty imminent return here for Carson Soucy, and a welcome return, man. He's been really good when he's been in the lineup for the Canucks. By the way, Tyler Myers, week to week, but the reporting from Elliot Friedman that this is not going to be something that stretches on to the playoffs. So if you were dreaming of $6 million of LTI R space opening up before the playoffs, doesn't sound like that's going to be the case for Tyler Myers. And I will say, Tyler Myers means if he had played every game, he would have hit 1,000 for his career in game 82.
Oh, right. I forgot about that.
Which would have been awesome
that
in Winnipeg, right? So his former team.
Yeah.
And it's like, I was really looking forward to that. I thought it would have been really cool. We'll see. Like, it doesn't sound like the door is shut at all for a return.
Quite
the
opposite
for Tyler Myers. So he could still reach 1,000 career NHL games in a Canucks uniform, but it'll have to wait at least till next regular season.
Yeah,
if that is going to happen.
Just really quickly on that. Don't underrate how highly the Canucks think of Tyler Myers in terms of the size that he brings to their back end and the person, right? I mean, Myers is a through and through capital G great teammate. Who takes his profession very seriously and working in the Canucks' favor here, deep connections to Canada's
to
West Coast, loves being here, family is very settled.
So Tyler Myers week to week, but not expected to take him to the playoffs, should return in the regular season. Playoff forecast, Canucks now with a 60% chance to win the division.
Despite the win in Anaheim.
And is that a factor of
the model
you're just
already
chalking
priced
it up? It's like, we knew you were going to beat Anaheim.
The model
we
already,
already
that priced
that
in. Win in,
yeah. So there you go. 60% chance. Edmonton with a 34% chance. So, you know, it's enough, I think, for there to be some nerves as we go down the stretch. You definitely like to see the Canucks put this one away, you know, rattle off 5 wins in 7, something like that, to kind of close the door on Edmonton. And right now, Dom Lucision's model has the Canucks projected to finish with 108 points. That would be third in the Western Conference behind Dallas and Winnipeg, just narrowly behind Dallas and Winnipeg. Has Edmonton projected to finish with 106. So that's a very, very tight margin shaping up at the Pacific Division, at the top of the Pacific Division for the Canucks.
In terms of gambling odds, main thing to look for, we talked about how we thought it would be a pick 'em if the Kings and the Canucks met in the playoffs. Well, basically a pick 'em as the line opens for their contest tomorrow night at the Staples Center at LA Live. Or, sorry, it's Crypto.com Arena.
Crypto.com, of course.
I'm going to owe Dom a personal apology for that. the Dogecoin. The Dogecoin.
Dom's favorite NHL building, Crypto.com.
the Dogecoin Memorial Arena. Very nice. Anyway, plus 100, Canucks are road dogs, Kings minus 115. So really, that really emphasizes...
Yeah, that's two even teams.
100%. They are viewed as effectively, if not equal quality, very close to it.
I should mention, by the way, that LA has jumped over Vegas in terms of year-end projections in Dom L's model, which would suggest the Canucks actually have a better chance of playing Vegas if they win the Pacific than they do of LA. LA could be headed for another meeting in the first round with the Edmonton Oilers, which probably sounds like an absolute nightmare for the Kings and the Kings fans right now. Final word?
Canucks would be narrowly favored. I think we can read into that by the fact that they were minus 140. Home favorites, right? Kings only minus 115. So close, but Vancouver getting the edge, plus 100 on the road.
All right, that does it for us today. Thanks for listening. We're back tomorrow with more Canucks talk here on Sportsnet 650.